This is WMUK's Gordon Evans. I'm speaking with Rich Robinson. He's executive director of the Michigan Campaign Finance Network, which examines how money is being spent and attempts to determine who is spending it in Michigan politics. Rich Robinson, thanks for being with us.
Good to be with you, Gordon. Thanks for having me.
Let's start with the statewide races in Michigan, especially for governor and United States Senate. Who is spending the money in the races to determine who will hold those offices after November?
Well, as it turns out, the common thread in both the U.S. Senate campaign and the gubernatorial campaign is that it's independent spenders who have largely carried the weight of the campaign so far, at least as far as citizen viewers perceive it. Television's still the most visible part of these campaigns. It's where most of the money has been spent so far. And overwhelmingly, the greatest percentage for all four candidates has come from independent groups supporting them, not from their own campaign committee.
Does this mean the candidates are then in a position to hold on to their campaign cash and perhaps use it to flood the market in the last weeks of the campaign?
Well, I think that applies at least in some cases. It certainly applies for Gary Peters to a lesser degree, but also for Governor Snyder. The other common thread in these things is that the candidate who's the perceived underdog, and that would be Terry Land and Mark Schauer, has to try to make up some of the gap in the polls early on. If they don't make up the gap early on, they're never going to catch up. And so they have, in both cases, spent more than their opponents, Gary Peters and Governor Snyder, respectively. Gary Peters hadn't bought a television ad until the last week of August. And when he did buy then, that was only in the Grand Rapids, Kalamazoo market. He's now gone more statewide. In contrast, Terry Land went up with advertising from her own campaign committee in April and has had a continuous airwave presence since that time, only with minor breaks around the Memorial Day and 4th of July holidays. And, you know, for a while, there was at least one poll that showed that she had succeeded in narrowing the gap. More recent polls are showing the gap is spreading out. Some of the independent groups who had been supporting her are falling away. There was $1 million ad buy placed statewide by Freedom Partners Chamber of Commerce. That's kind of the mothership fundraising arm of the Koch brothers family of nonprofit political committees. They pulled that ad and it was not replaced. So the cardinal rule in politics is you don't spend money if you know you're going to win or you know you're going to lose. And a decision was made there to place that money somewhere else. And that's a choice that these independent spenders always have. Is there a better bet somewhere else to put this money? In the gubernatorial campaign, again, it's been dominated by the Republican Governors Association and the Democratic Governors Association, respectively. The DGA has spent more than the RGA. In the end, they probably won't be outspent, but they have succeeded in closing the gap in the polls, and consistently now the polls are showing a closer race. So it's more likely we'll have a real race to the finish in the gubernatorial than the U.S. Senate, I think, as far as these data are showing.
How much do we know about who contributes to these groups that then make these independent ad buys in Michigan as well as other states?
In the case of those supporting Terry Land, there's a lot of dark money. Half of the television advertising has been from nonprofit corporations that don't disclose their donors. That would include Americans for Prosperity, Freedom Partners Chamber of Commerce, U.S. Chamber of Commerce. Those supporting Gary Peters have been mainly disclosing entities, party groups, and so forth. The biggest spender in support of Gary Peters' campaign has been the Senate Majority PAC. That's a super PAC that's controlled by Democrats in the U.S. Senate. And as a super PAC, they do disclose their donors. So there is that disparity. There's more disclosure on the side of the Friends of Peters than there has been on the side of the Friends of Terry Land. When you look at the gubernatorial, both the Republican Governors Association and the Democratic Governors Association are 527 committees. So they do disclose their donors, but to the Internal Revenue Service, not to the Federal Election Commission or to the Michigan Department of State. Now, both of those groups have established a state PAC through which they're handling some of this spending, but a good share of the spending has been through the parent entity, these national 527 committees. So in order to find out who's putting the money in, we've got to go to those IRS records and look who are the Michigan donors putting money in and who are the other major national donors.
Now, the state legislature, of course, both the House and Senate are up this year. The 20th State Senate District, which includes Kalamazoo County, is considered one of the few truly competitive races for the state Senate. In the past, this has been a district which has drawn outside interest from various groups. Should people in the Kalamazoo area prepare for a barrage of ads on their TV screens related specifically to this race between now and the first Tuesday in November?
I think they should. As you say, it's a limited number of seats, particularly in the state Senate, where there is competition. And I think this is going to be one of them. Sean McCann's campaign committee has the financial edge over Margaret O'Brien's. But each of the legislative caucuses has one political action committee that they use to support their candidates. And the Senate Republicans have more money in their caucus PAC than the Senate Democrats do. Then you've got some of the nonprofit entities and so forth who may well join the fray, too. So in the end, I expect this race, even though the candidates have a lot of money in their own campaign committees, to be dominated by spending from outside groups, and those will principally be the legislative caucus PACs.
And how much of that ends up being dark money that we either don't find out who the donors were until after the election's over, or we never find out who donated to those groups, which then buy these ads for and against the legislative candidates?
Well, when it is those legislative caucus PACs, they're fully disclosing to the Michigan Bureau of Elections. So we will know who those donors are. We won't necessarily know which donor's money was applied to which campaign, but we have a sense where that money comes from. But some of these other nonprofit groups who will end up doing direct mail into the district, maybe even doing some television, probably doing some commercial radio advertising, that may or may not be disclosed. Pretty likely that a large percentage of it will not be disclosed as to who the donors are.
Your report on the legislative candidates shows that about $23 million has been raised so far. This is both House and Senate candidates. You did find that in the primaries, there were 12 candidates who were able to win, despite the fact that they were outspent. That includes a couple in this part of Michigan, Aaron Miller in the district that includes St. Joseph County, and Cindy Gamrat in the district that includes most of Allegan County. But with those exceptions noted, is it still the case that the candidate with more money is, at the end of the day, much more likely to be the winner?
That's absolutely the case. These are very rare instances. For the most part, you know, competition in primaries is focused in a relatively few number of seats where there happens to be an open election. Then you'll have several candidates. You may have a financial underdog prevailing. But once we get to the general election, money's even more likely to hold sway. So over the 8 election cycles that I've been following Michigan campaigns and elections, in legislative races, the candidate with the greater financial backing wins generally 95% of the time. Narrow margins within that estimate, but it's a big predictor of success. And of course, the other major predictor of success is incumbency. Incumbencies overwhelmingly carry the day.
And there was one incumbent who lost in the primary for a state legislative race.
It was a remarkable race, too. It's a ways away from your listenership in the Straits area, but incumbent Frank Foster in the 107th House District lost in a primary campaign where there was $500,000 spent. That is absolutely remarkable for a Michigan State House primary election.
So as we sit here less than 2 months from Election Day, is it fair to say that we are looking at record spending for this type of race, a non-presidential election year, in terms of what we're going to see spent on the statewide races and perhaps even on congressional and legislative races?
This won't come anywhere near being a record in the gubernatorial. I think that our 2006 gubernatorial campaign, where then incumbent Jennifer Granholm defeated Dick DeVos, who self-financed some $35 million, is a record that'll stand for some time.
And that's what kind of makes that one stand out, is that Dick DeVos was able to pour so much of his own money into that race?
That was a big part of it. There was also $13 million of dark money spent by the Michigan Democratic Party on behalf of Jennifer Granholm. That was a fairly remarkable total as well. In addition to the fact that she had a very healthy fundraising campaign of her own. So that one stands out, and as I say, I expect that to be a record that'll stand for a while. Our history in U.S. Senate races is that, you have to go back to 2000, really, for the last time we had a very competitive U.S. Senate race, and I'm not sure that this one will turn out to be an extremely competitive race in the end. It'll probably be the most expensive so far this century, but it remains to be seen if it's going to really hit the heights of spending.
Rich Robinson, as always, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Gordon.
Rich Robinson is Executive Director of the Michigan Campaign Finance Network. For WMUK, I'm Gordon Evans.